What did your last relationship teach you? Episode number 43. Today's episode of the Keep It 100 Girl Show is brought to you by Tarjay. You know, it's always hard to go back to work after a long holiday weekend because it pretty much marks the end of summer. But Target is here to make things a lot easier with a lot of great deals for you. Starting today, Target is offering 30% off rugs. So if you need a rug, want a rug, you have until midnight to grab this one. But it doesn't stop here. Starting Wednesday and Thursday, you can enjoy 30% off bed and bath products. So if you want to get squeaky clean, I suggest you take advantage. Finish out the week with home decor. Target is offering 30% off. And then I got one more bonus. You are a Halloween junkie? Start stocking up for the entire family at Target and save up to 35% off. And this is going until next Monday. So y'all need to take advantage of that one. But for easy access, you can even find the Target link located in the show notes. And it's right there on your phone, your Android, your iPhone. Just scroll through the description and you'll see the link. And similarly, if you're on your desktop, you just look at the description and you'll find the link too. And if you want to go to my website, head over to ninababel.com/podcast. And you know what? You're just going to look for episode number 43 and you'll find the Target shopping link right there. Welcome back to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Thanks for joining me today. And in case this is your first time joining, me is Nina Babel. And you know what? I help both men and women celebrate embarrassment in their lives. There's no manual on this topic either. What your last relationship taught you? Was it good, bad, ugly, or all of the above? Well, we're going to talk about each one of those a little bit later on. But I have to tell you, this is a place where women and men tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. I share what you all are thinking, but not necessarily saying out loud. So I have to do it for you. But here's the dealio. Most of you are too shy, nervy, and embarrassed to ask or even share. And for that reason alone, you're going to think, what has Nina thinking? Because I'm a little cray-cray edgy, and some of you might even consider me taboo-ish. But I'm your go-to girlfriend. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100? My hand is raised. How about yours?
Are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
Last week's episode fell the day after Labor Day here in the U.S. And not only did I decide to share the fruits of my labor, but also the fruits of my listeners' labor, too. I released my fan faves and did a rewind on some of the most popular episodes from you listeners in 2016. And you know what? It confirms my passion and purpose that I just talked about. You know, with me helping women and men celebrating the whole embarrassment thing. Because the two top-ranking episodes was what every girl needs to know in their 20s and what your mother didn't tell you but your girlfriend did. Boom! That's the title of my upcoming book, y'all. And you know what? I'm going to be sharing more of these insights from the book in upcoming episodes. So fast forward to today. We're going to be talking to women about what their last relationship taught them. And just my story in a nutshell. You know, I'm an admitted serial dater. I think this is the first time in my life where, you know, I haven't dated anybody in like over a year. But I think the record is 2, which I'm cool with that. I'm even more cool with it now more than ever, just because 1, I'm so busy. 2, I've kind of turned into a skeptic now when it comes to dating. And 3, this whole online phenomenon, I'm old school. I'm old fashioned and I'm just not down with it. I can't do the scrolling to the right, you know, clicking, messaging. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. But this leads me to a conversation that I had with my girlfriend. Related, kind of unrelated, but it will set the scene. So there's a Maxwell and Mary J. Blige tour that's ramping up here in the U.S. And my BFF said to me, you know, I'm not really interested in hearing the Mary J. Blige. And I asked her why, because she's such an icon for women's empowerment. And, you know, in the areas of bouncing back from a relationship or being hurt in a relationship or just feeling good about herself. Like, that's what she sings about. That is Mary. That's what Mary is known for. She replied, you know, I can't deal with all the man did me wrong songs. I have no self-esteem songs. She can't listen to it all night long. And I kind of get it, but my response to her was, you can say that now because it's all behind you. You're a grown-ass woman now. You have more self-love for yourself at this very moment than you ever did, especially when you were younger, from all those young and dumb relationships. So for those of you who might not be familiar with self-love, what is self-love when it comes to relationships and dating?
Self-love is something you give yourself over and over and over until it becomes habit. And that self-love is something like all love that requires nurturing and that is in your own hands. That is not, you know, wait for someone else to love you for you to love yourself. That you love yourself. And from that, you know, love comes. Love is there because you've already loved yourself. You've already given yourself what's already your birthright, what's already your natural state.
So in today's episode, this is what you're going to hear from Girly Nation. Number one, the lessons. What their last relationship taught them. Number two, how we run off course. You know, we take those detours, we ignore the signs, until we see that red stoplight. Number three, notes to herself. Those self-love notes that you need to take inventory of. Number four, boyfriend remorse. I know you wish you could take back that doggy in the window, but you really can't. So what is a love list? For you guys, it's what us women do. To understand the chaos, intentions, the uncertainty, or even if it's just too good to be true, us women find a way to jot our decisions down in little bites to process over time. Love list comes in all kinds of formats. For men, their list, maybe it's just sex, food, and affirmation in that order. But for us, it's the emotional, it's the physical, it's what you say, it's what you do, it's what you don't do, and I could go on and on. The Nina Girl-ism for the love list is that in good times, you know, you put together that pros and cons list, and this is in the beginning of a relationship and you're trying to see if it's worthy continuing. And then the bad times, this list is the same format, pros and cons, but it means something little different. It's the last-ditch effort to salvage the relationship. This is where the cue for the red flags, not the deal breakers, start.
My last relationship taught me a few things, but I think the most prevalent is that I don't have to change who I am in order to make someone else happy. I spent so much time walking on eggshells in my last relationship. I wouldn't say certain things so that he wouldn't get upset. I would make sure that I didn't do certain things so it wouldn't irritate him. I wanted to be perceived as perfect, and I hate even using this word in relation to me, but as perfect and as docile as possible, because I'd had so many relationships prior that their biggest concern was that I was too aggressive, that I was too assertive, and that I was essentially too strong. So I tried something different and tried to be a little bit calmer and less aggressive and less assertive and more calm. And what I found was he still wasn't happy with that. And no matter what I did to try to change me to appease him, it was never enough. And so I learned from my last relationship at 31 years old that the best thing to be in a relationship is yourself. Out the gate, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, then too bad. But I'm not going to change myself to accommodate what someone else wants me to be. So I can thank my ex for that lesson learned.
You see, the red flags can always go back down. But once it's resurrected and it gets upgraded to a deal breaker, it's grounds for dismissal. The last version of the love list is putting your intentions out there to the universe. And it's all based on your relationships and what they taught you. And then asking the universe for something better. Looking at all the lessons, it's so easy to bad talk, ex bash, your past relationship, your past boo, and forget all the warm and fuzzy moments. So this is what you need to do going forward. You need to think of a breakup as a positive breakup. What are the positives you're going to learn from this experience? Karen is in her late 30s and she's married now. But prior to getting married, she dated a college professor 10 years her senior, and he used to teach at Yale. And he encountered some controversy on campus. Karen found herself connecting with what total strangers were saying about her ex. She admits to having the same experiences. So the love list she already had stored in the back of her head all these years turned out to be really valuable. And I'll tell you why. Because it provided closure. This is the closure she needed and affirmed, you know what? That she wasn't crazy. Because a lot of times we blame ourselves. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. You know, you think it's your fault. What did you do wrong? Or are you really cray-cray? Crazy.
He was sometimes available, sometimes not, only really showing an interest when there would be something in it for him. When there was like celebrities on campus, whatever, he would pop up. But if it wasn't something that they thought that was beneficial to him, you would get his out-of-office email, he wouldn't be around. There was just so many different things that they would say in these interviews. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. I experienced that. That was part of my experience of him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, it wasn't just me. So in a way, it was just sort of like validating to hear that, although it was unfortunate, it was validating because I was like, I wasn't crazy.
It wasn't me is also my story. The lesson my last relationship taught me was really a great reminder how we have the tendency to run off course and lose ourselves. My love list affirms that my ex didn't stack up. Mm-mm. No way. He may have stacked up on paper, but book sense doesn't always give a guy relationship sense. The relationship, I think, existed in my head. According to my grandmother, ambition is planted in everybody, but in some people, you know what? It doesn't grow. So I had to reflect, and then I took a step backwards and I reflected on my upbringing. I reflected on my parents and what they taught me and the values they taught me. Because I always tell you guys, it comes back full circle. We are a product of our environment. Our values didn't match up. And you know what? He was just totally oblivious. Karen's ex is ultimately the reason why she's been able to move on.
I have a scar on my hand right here on my arm. And I was cooking jerk wings for the same guy. I burned my arm. And his first instinct was not like, are you okay? Is everything all right?
What can I do? Like, do you need...
Yeah, I was like, you need to watch. You need to be more careful. You need to watch this. And one time I cut myself cooking and I bled my finger and he was upset because I got blood on the floor. Or another time I hit my foot on the bed and he was like, you need to redirect the pain. And it's so funny because psychologically, like if I hit myself on something, I hear that voice, redirect the pain, as opposed to like comforting myself. So it was really difficult. I say that to say that when I got into this relationship with Jorge, who, by the way, is the opposite of all those things, and is very sensitive, by the way, It still takes time for me to even adjust to him at times because I'm just sort of like not accustomed to that, because I would attract a person who's just not available for me. That was my problem, not his, right? And so, but I did take it out on him, or I did reject him, or I didn't embrace it, because I just wasn't accustomed to that. So that's just really interesting. I think people have to pay attention to that.
You do. And it was like my mind was just going, replaying all these little clues that I had been archiving.
It's there.
And I even made a list just so I can offload it. And I was like, you know, I don't even owe him an explanation. You can't, why would I even tell a person all these things? Because it's pitiful that I even have to do that. Mary's in her mid-30s now, and she's single and has been single. Her last relationships and her time being single has allowed her to understand what it takes to set boundaries and really understand younger Mary and where she was coming from.
It wasn't really that good. It wasn't really that good. It was really an imbalanced relationship where, and I can very openly admit this, where I think I was more of an emotional and ego crutch than anything for them in their life at that time. And they might have thought I would still be that same way now. And that was one of those things that had to really just make me think about my relationships in terms of certain stuff in general, especially in my 20s, and some of the people who tried to revisit that later on in terms of touching base or whatever else. And it was like, wow, again, I was sitting back like, I was kind of a sucker. I was a sucker for love, as people say. And all of that, like, somebody's paying attention to me, and, you know, we go out and we do other stuff, and that's cool and all. And
you love the attention?
Yeah, the attention, and, you know, you get older, physical benefits, and all of that type of stuff.
Right.
But ultimately, you sit back and it was just there like, what was really there? Like, not too much was there for me to even
be attracted
be
to.
Like, yeah, to be like, let me get back to that, you know?
Right.
And it just was kind of a harsher reminder to just look at how I deal and have dealt with other relationships, you know? And, you know, again, being at the age I'm at, I'm seeing some people, you know, they're getting older, they're getting married, I'm in my mid-30s, I'm not involved. And there are some people who I was like, yeah, about a few years ago, you were kind of out there, but you seem to settle down and get your stuff together, or you just got with the right person. Like, if I look at who you're with right now, we honestly weren't going to be a thing like that, you know? Like, we've had certain elements, but that entire package of, I guess, the romantic compliment factor was not there. And some things were because of them, and some things were because of me. I can't control how another person is, but I can control myself, you know?
Seeking a pattern in your failed relationships may help you identify one or more issues that need to be resolved before you could even have a chance at a successful relationship. We're all imperfect human beings who can improve in how we relate to other imperfect human beings.
Your very essence is this light inside of you. It's like the very core of the electricity that makes us tick, that makes us go and keeps us breathing and keeps our bodies moving, is this light. And this light is if it's dim, then we can be sluggish. If it's dim, then we can forget that we are love, and we can stop being loving to other people. And when we stop being loving to other people, then they stop being loving back. And so it becomes a circle of dimness. Unless you're dead, you've got some light always. And we have to remember that everybody has some light. It just could be dim. And then, of course, the more you nurture this light, the more you feed eat it, and the more it grows and becomes bigger and becomes a bigger part of who you are, until your light should come from your eyes. Your light should come from your voice and your energy.
Her note to self: everybody has them. For Mary, she discovered her love light.
One of the things I had to look at is, with my personality, I do want to work with people. I do want to be giving. I do want to support folks and all of that. But where did that borderline cross in terms of I'm supporting somebody else so much, I'm not getting support when I need it.
Right.
On an emotional basis or whatever else. So that's one little story where it's just there, like, I was kind of forced to remove the contacts and the rose-colored glasses and be like, what's in front of me? Mm-hmm. What's here? Mm-hmm. Where was I before, and how did that shape me in my earlier 30s to the point where I'm at right now, where it's like, yeah, I'm not in a situation presently, but I'm not unhappy about it. I kind of maybe had to get away from all of that stuff to get comfortable with me.
First-time relationship blues. You'll never forget them. In fact, you never forget your first. And this is what that relationship taught Reagan.
It taught me not to take any bullcrap and to just be more aware and pay attention. Pay attention to that other person. And I think a bit more about self, like I had said earlier too. I didn't really date that much in college, maybe one person, and then it was just like a very, very kiddy, small relationship, and even in high school. So my last relationship, again, being completely honest, was like my first, I guess what you would consider a real relationship, or what I considered to be a real relationship. So I think I had those first time relationship blues, and I think I know not what to let happen again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, everybody goes through their lemonade. You have to have one glass of lemonade to know.
Yeah.
Deja found her self-awareness, and she realized light attracts light. Trash attracts trash. Preach, Deja.
I would say it definitely taught, like, me, like, how much I value and respect myself, honestly, because who you date in your relationships are a reflection. You like attracts like. So I attracted trash because I obviously didn't value myself as much at that point in time. So now I'm starting to see a shift in that, because the quality of guys that I'm dating are a lot different than what the guy I used to date. So that's what I would say.
Hey, hey, Girly Nation. Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl Camp. This is where Nina teaches you how to keep it 100 all day and every day. Just give me 1 hour and I will give you 10 ways to level up your freshman college game. You know, we are taught to learn, you know, you negotiate what you deserve. But Nina's going to teach you, you deserve what you negotiate. So, I'm doing a free webinar on September 23rd, and this is where I want you to sign up. You're going to visit bit.ly/KIBootcamp, all in lowercase. Don't miss out. From start to finish, Nina Girl is going to keep it 100. See you soon. Peace. Note to herself, Jessica admits to getting emotionally invested in a relationship way too quicker than others.
Oh boy, let's see. So my last relationship taught me that I need to be more patient before thinking that all of the answers that he's telling me that I like to hear are really what he is saying and what he really believes. I think we all try to put on a good front sometimes in a relationship. And I think women, if they would, you know, wait on things in the relationship to see before you become way emotionally. And I tend to get emotionally invested very quickly in a relationship. And I think what happened is I got really emotionally invested. And then his true colors, when, you know, your guard finally lets down, some of his true colors came out. I was like, this is not the person that I thought you were. But now I'm so emotionally invested that it's going to be very hard for this to like not happen anymore. And it was tough. It was a tough breakup, but it taught me to make sure that I kind of waited out to see what he's really like before I try to get too emotionally involved.
It takes her a week. And then she realizes when she's in, she's all in.
Usually for me, it takes like 4 or 5 dates for me to be like really like, okay, I really like him. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've observed him enough in the way he carries himself and the way that he interacts with people. And then suddenly I just kind of get, you know, then there were always qualities that I liked that attracted me to him in the first place. But it's like that kind of, by that 5th or 6th date, that either, you either kind of know or you don't know that you're really into them. And then I'm kind of an all or nothing person. I'm not this like, let's wait and see. Like, I'm either like, yes or no. Like, you know, it's one or the other. And so when I'm in, I'm all in. And I think that's where I've put myself on the line with men, as far as like I've given too much of my emotional heart to them. And then when it crumbles, you know, several months later, then I'm just kind of, I feel destroyed almost. And not that you wouldn't by 7 or 8 months in a relationship, but I just feel like I jumped in a little too quickly, where if I would just kind of hang back a little and just say, okay, like, let's let this work its course first. But I think now I know too that it's got to take a few months before you really can see whether or not, you know, this person is what they say they are. At least the one that I was seeing, I think he was more like, I was at a bad point in my life where I had a very good friend that kind of betrayed me, and I was in a really emotionally low point, and then this guy kind of came into my life, and I think I attached onto that because of it.
Timing. I think that's a function of not dating when you're younger, right? Because when you're younger, you have this free, open innocence, and you're all in, right? You're all happy-go-lucky to be in a relationship. And because she didn't date when she was younger, she's going through those motions now.
But I've done that before in the past, where I just, like I said, I just jump in. Yeah. And I have to be careful. I have to be careful about that. Make him prove himself a little bit more before I say I'm all in.
Yeah. Were you a late dater? I'm just curious.
I didn't have my real first serious boyfriend until I was like 25.
Yeah.
Like I dated a couple of guys, and not very long in high school. Like I dated a couple, but yeah. Then when I got to college, I was very serious about my college. And then I've just always kind of been this independent, more free spirit anyway. So I tend to not go along with what everybody else is doing at their time in their life, which is probably why I'm 38 and single, never married.
Alyssa's in her 30s and she's on her second marriage with 2 children from her first marriage. She got engaged at 20 years old and then she married at 24. What most of us would consider real young. So I asked her what happened. Because at that age, you can't tell a young person anything. Because all you're thinking is, he's the one.
Shortly after we had gotten engaged, we got engaged when we were 20 and then got married when we were 24. And I remember having this freak out, you know, like, oh my gosh, what if this isn't the right thing? And we lived together and we lived in a different city than the city I grew up in. So it wasn't like I could just go live with my parents. I was kind of stuck. So I slept on the couch for a week. And at the end of that week, I was like, well, you know, preset marriages work in, you know, in India, in other countries. And so you just kind of have to choose somebody and then you figure out how to make it work. There isn't the one. And I remember having this conversation in my own head and going, okay, so just make a choice and move forward. And, you know, that I wasn't 100% sure at that point, should have been a red flag to me. But again, I wanted to do what was right. And what I had in my head was that you go to college, you find a boyfriend, you graduate college, and then you get married, and then you buy a house and you have a career. And, you know, I had this whole pattern of the shoulds in my head. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of just went back and made it work. And I knew he loved me, and I did love him. And it wasn't that we didn't love each other. Was he the one? I don't know.
The conversations you have in your head. The one, the shoulds, and the red flag.
And for me, in my head right then, it was that simple. And again, I had these expectations of myself that this is the pattern. And so if you graduate college, but you don't have, you know, a significant other, well, then what? And I don't know where that even came from. I really don't. But it was the expectation I had firmly set in my head.
Societal norms and pressures. What's Alyssa's story? What happened to her marriage?
Disconnect between him and I. And I wasn't feeling fulfilled.
Like, disconnect, like, was it sex? Was it just day-to-day talking, communicating?
Yeah, great question. So it really wasn't the sex that was the problem. It was the emotional connection and the day-to-day stuff. I wanted to be this great mom, and so I was, you know, had one kid on each hip, and I wanted to, you know, make sure I was a good wife too. So I would make sure that he could watch football on a Sunday, and I'd bring him beer, and, you know, and whatever, and just kind of this in the spirit of service. And that's wonderful, but I was burnt out, and I was starting to become resentful. And so, you know, that resentment really got in the way of me being able to connect with him on an emotional basis as well. And that was, you know, I just kind of started looking at him and not feeling anything. And, you know, not even anger or even resentment or any of that. It just, like, there was nothing.
It wasn't apathy, but it was really close. Alyssa's going to explain how.
I was distraught by all of this, and I was under some stress. I was back in school full time. I was going to nursing school and also working, not quite full time, but a 0.6. So I was working 30 hours a week, and had two small kids, and, you know, trying to keep that all together. And so I was under a lot of stress as well. And I wasn't managing any of it well. I was drinking a lot. And in retrospect, I think it was a lot of just like disconnect internally, you know, like things just weren't right for me. And so I said, well, I think we need to go to marriage counseling. And so he said, well, okay, fine. You know, and I made the appointment, and this wasn't the first time we had gone to marriage counseling. And on the way home from there, he said, well, you know, we're rational people. We should just talk this out. You know, things aren't that bad.
This was her turning point and note to self. Alyssa faced that fork in the road, and she finally admitted her biggest aha moment.
I had gone out with some of my friends, and I had driven home. This is hard to even say because this is really mortifying. I'd driven home and passed out in my car. I had parked on the street. By the grace of God, I got home safely and didn't kill anybody. And I woke up with my seat reclined in the driver's seat, and it was 4 a.m.
Wow.
And I opened up the door and stumbled out of the car, stumbled up to my house, and stumbled in, and, you know, passed out on the couch, woke up with, you know, horrible hangover, throwing up. And, you know, here I'm a mom of two kids, you know, holding down a job, supposed to be a responsible wife. It was just horrible. And I said to my husband at the time, I said, I have a problem. Like, this is a problem, and I need counseling. I need help because this is not okay. I don't even know who that person was that did that last night. That was so incredibly irresponsible and unsafe. And, you know, I mean, I just, you know, take the snowball where you will. You know, I just went down this horrible path of, you know, I'm a terrible person that I did this. And he was trying to make me feel better, I think. And he said, oh, you know what? You're fine. You don't have a drinking problem. You're fine. You're fine. And you don't need counseling. And I was like, but I think I do. And he really pushed back on me and said, and didn't want me to go to counseling. And for me, you know, you ask kind of what was that red flag or what was that moment? For me, that was the moment for me, because I thought, well, why don't you want me to be a better version of me?
Yeah.
And really that moment was sort of the start of the end. Did we get married because we were supposed to, or because it was the right thing for us to do? So that was really the start of me figuring myself out. And, you know, I don't know if I'd have known then what I know now about myself, about my, you know, innate strengths, about, you know, the self-development I've done in the years since, whether that marriage could have been salvaged or not. You know, I don't know.
It's up to you, Girly Nation. No more, oh, woe's me, starting from today. If you see a noticeable trend in your relationships and why they're not lasting, then something is broken with you. I'm totally being 100 here with all of you. And it works conversely too. If you're on the receiving end of being dumped, there's something broken.
Your happiness is in your own hands. You can't sit around and say, oh, woe is me. I'm not in a good relationship.
We can be brave, strong, broken all at once. But you know what? It's the broken part that we gotta fix. You need to really say this to yourself, right? This is another Nina Girlism that I'm going to end with. This is what you need to say to yourself. For all those exes in my life, you won't recognize the new me. You know why? I put back the pieces differently. They may have been part of your descent, but it's not part of my rising. And this message is unisex. It's not just for women, and it's not just for men. It's for both y'all. Say to yourself, be a better version of me. Know this. In fact, you need to do this right now. Get on Twitter, and you're going to use the handle @NinaBabel to tell me, be a better version of me. And that way I know you listened to this episode. Positive breakups taught me how to read between the lines. You really have to listen to what people are saying, what they're not saying, but what they mean or what their words mean. And you can only do this through trial and error. You're not going to be a pro from the beginning, whether it's before, during, or after a relationship. And yes, it's all about giving someone the benefit of the doubt. But those one-liners, they have a way of manifesting, resurrecting, and showing up in different ways. And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. Remember, I may suggest things that'll make you say, damn! Has she lost her mind? Trust me, girly. And you too, guys. There's always a reason why I make a suggestion and ask you guys questions. I want to push you out of your comfort zone. It's never random. But help me spread the word, peeps. Don't forget to share the show with your girlies and guy friends and email me a question or a personal story. And you could send it to ask@NinaBabel. And that's babe with an L. That's my last name. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, they drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget also to review my show in iTunes, because you know what? I rely on you guys. It helps me stand out from the crowd. It helps women. It helps men. It helps all of us to understand ourselves better. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to click on the podcast icon on your Android or your iPhone. In the search field, you type Keep It 100 Girl. You select the little red podcast cover with me on top. You click review. And then it will pop up dialog box and you're going to see like write a review, click the stars, enter your title, description, and all you got to do is press submit. Voila. Connect with me on social media. You know I love Twitter, Instagram, or even Snapchat. And you could use the handle @NinaBabel to find me. And don't forget to subscribe to Girl Camp. It's my Keep It 100 Girl Camp. I am doing a free webinar, don't forget, on September 23rd from 12 to 1. And this is where I'm going to help you keep it 100. Give me 1 hour and I'm going to give you 10 ways to keep it 100 in your life if you are a freshman or college student. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to visit www.ki100bootcamp.squarespace.com and head over to the contact page or RSVP page. Yeah, that's what it is. And you're going to sign up there. Let's keep it 100. Smith Jazz.